What?
Yeah, you drink every morning.
Yeah.
There's a very large sefer that was written on Hilchos Tamei Torah. So he has a lot about what a person should learn, what curricula should learn, how much Tanakh should learn, Mishnayos should learn, what Derech should learn, all the different nuances about how a person should learn. And then the very, very end of the sefer, so he writes that Bamedeva Mamurim, when is all this true? That you learn Bekiyas, Be'iyun, all the different styles of learning, that's for a person who doesn't have any particular desire to learn in a certain manner. But if a person has a tremendous desire to learn Bekiyas, to learn Be'iyun, he wants to learn more Mishnayos, more Gemara, so the Chazal tells us, that a person ultimately only really learns in a place that he desires, the way that he wants. So therefore, a person should really do what his heart's desires. So I was always wondering why he wrote the whole Sefer for. If at the end of the day, it all depends on the person, so everybody has their own personal touch, their own personal leanings where they want to learn. But notwithstanding the fact that so much of a Limud HaTorah is left up to the individual to enjoy, and as we spoke about in the past, the significance of Simcha B'Shas Limud, nevertheless, there is a certain objective criteria as to what parts of Torah a person should be spending one's time in, and that's really what our sugya is. It's a sugya that appears in Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed, so it's the sugya that we've been discussing, and it's kind of putting some of the final touches on some of the issues related to Talmud Torah, which has been such a major discussion over the last couple of weeks. So the sugya begins with the first of the Marmakamas, Amr of Safra, Mishum of Yishuv Ben Chananya, Mai Dechsi Vishinanta Levanecha, Altika Vishinanta Ela Vishilashtam. It was a little bit of a play on the word, that Vishinantam, don't read it Vishinantam, read it Vishilashtam. Now, if you would read it this way, drunk Rishma, you wouldn't be Yitzi. You have to say Vishinantam. But there's a drush that says, Vishinantam is Lashon Vishilashtam, which is a Lashon of thirds. La'olam Yishalish Adam Shinaisav. A person should divide up their time of learning. Shlish b'mikra, a third in mikra and psukim. Shlish b'mikra, a third in mishnayos. Shlish b'talmud, and a third in talmud, which roughly corresponds to what we call Gemara. So the Gemara thinks what that means is that this is a lifetime endeavor. So a person should make a cheshbon, how long he's planning on living, and then he should hopefully live 120 years, divide up his years appropriately, and he'll spend 30 years learning Mikra, and then he'll spend the next 30 years learning Mishnah. Wonderful, the verse says that's very nice. Nobody has that ruchash, nobody knows exactly how long they're going to learn, so it's not a very good way to invest yourself. You'll spend a lot of time, you'll never get to Gemara. So the Gemara says that's what it means. What it means is not based on your entire lifetime, but rather it's based on days. So the question is, what does that mean, based on days? That's a further machlokes in the Rishonim. So if we take a look at the Tosfos in Kiddush Daf Lamed, Latzrich Liyom, Yipish Bakuntris, Yimei HaShabbos, Kloma Shnei Yom Mikra, Shnei Yom Mishnah, Shnei Yom Gemara. So Rashi says, what a person should plan is like Sunday and Monday should be his Chumash days, Tuesday and Wednesday, you decide how you want the days to be split up, but basically it should be out of the 6 days. I guess Shabbos is the day of Chazara, and Cholim the rest, but the 6 days of the week should be 2, 2, 2 in terms of your learning. So comes Tosfos and says, V'loni hira, diyim kein, akatev matzlebefach miyadeh kamachaye. Says Tosfos, the same way you don't know how many years you're going to learn, when it comes on Sunday morning, you know you're going to make it to the end of the week. So if you're going to tell me that the entire mitzvah is dependent upon knowledge you're going to live for the next 6 days, so it's hard to believe that's what the halacha would formulate such an obligation. So ella rather, what does it mean? Venuli lefarish b'chol yom v'yom atzmo yishalesh. What it means is, says Tosfos, that every day you should divide up. Now wait a second. If Tosfos is bothered with the question that how do you know how long you're going to live? So the same way you don't know how long you're going to live for the next 90 years, you don't know how long you're going to live for the rest of the week, you don't know how long you're going to live for the rest of the day. So how could the halacha require that you do in effect, 4 hours, b'yodeh, my yilad yom, what's going to happen at the end of the day? So clearly, Tosfos is of the opinion that we didn't understand properly what this means, liyayme, what it means to split up your day. It does not mean an even split. It doesn't mean that you make a cheshbon how many hours you have and then divide it up appropriately. But rather, all yishalish means is that during any given unit of time, namely a day is the small unit of time, you have to have a little bit of a representation of each of the parts of Torah. So Torah is divided up into three parts. There's Chumash, there's Mishnayos, and there's Gemara. So every single day of one's life, one should have a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnayos, a little bit of Gemara. Does it mean that you have to have an exact breakdown in terms of hours? No, says Tosfos. You just have to have a little bit of each. Therefore, Tosfos says, because that's what the halacha requires, that every day you have to learn a little bit of the three halachim of Torah. Now we understand, Kain Tikin Beseder of Amram Gon, Kamosha Anunogim Chol Yom, Kodim Sukkot Zimra Loma Mikra Mishnu Gemara. So that tells us, now we understand the practice that appears in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon. Rav Amram Gon was one of the earliest compilations that we have of a formal Siddur. So Rav Amram Gon has in his Siddur, he has the practice that we have until this very day, that before we begin Pesukim Zimra, so we say a series of Pesukim, we say Yivrach Hashem B'Shmurach, we say Parshat Tomid, then we say some Mishnayos, we say Ezim HaKoyman, then we learn a Braisa, which is like almost like Gemara, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. It's not actually Gemara, but it's considered to be like the equivalent of Gemara. And therefore, we know that we've covered our bases. So no matter what happens the rest of the day, whether we spend the rest of the day learning Chumash all day, learning Mishnah, learning Gemara, or we do nothing the rest of the day, at least we know that every single day, day in, day out, we have covered ourselves on all three bases of Torah, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. So Tosfos really has a double chiddush in terms of this sugya. Number one, Tosfos learns that we're talking about each and every day, there's an obligation, not like Rashi said, it's days Chumash, days Mishnah, days Gemara, but rather each and every day has its obligation. And number two, Taisa says, is that it doesn't have to be an even breakdown. Like Lamai said, it's not an even breakdown, because most people probably then will go and learn Daf Yomi for an hour, and they'll come to a shiur, and they may spend the bulk of the day learning Gemara. As long as they had a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnah, then they're good to go. Rabbi Natan, Piresh, Rabbi Natan says, Sh'anu somchen ahadi aminim b'sanhedrin, bovel belula b'mikru b'mishru b'gemara, the Gemara's bovel bola b'kulam. Says Rabbi Natan that we have a practice that we're not so careful about this, that we don't really fulfill kipshuto, learning Mishnah, learning Chumash, learning Gemara every single day. Says Rabbi Natan, we learn Gemara. We learn Talmud Bavli. How does Talmud Bavli cover ourselves in all three fronts? So says Tosfos, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, one of the reasons why it's called Talmud Bavli, I mean, obviously the simple reading was written in Bavel, but in a deeper meaning, what's also called Talmud Bavli, so the word Bavel comes from the word Balul, mixed in. That's why it was called Bavel. Bal Hashem, Svaskal Aretz, all the languages are mixed in. So in Talmud Bavli, in our Gemara, is a cholot of everything. There's some Chumash, there's some Tanakh, and any given daf, so you can get a posik, a drush, or something. There's usually a Mishnah too that's quoted. Then you have Gemara, Gemara's questions, Gemara's answers, the Pilpul, the Machlekes, the drushes, etc. So says Rabbi Natan, in any given learning, you're going to have a little bit of the three. Now, also Rabbi Natan did not misrepresent to mean that in any given daf of Gemara, you can have an even representation. That's clearly not the case. There are some Gemaras you can go for a long time before you quote a Pasuk. So what's clearly Rabbi Natan didn't mean to say that every day you're going to get 33, 33, 33, but Rabbi Natan is following Bikvas HaTosfos that there really is no need to have an absolute breakdown. As long as you have a little bit of each, so that would be acceptable. So basically, Tosfos is saying almost two different versions to explain what the Olam is doing. How are we, Bezman HaZeh, fulfilling this obligation of Yishalish Adam, the Mikra Mishra of the Gemara? So both days and Tosfos are assuming that we're not doing it evenly, but we don't have to do it evenly, but we're getting a daily dosage of everything. So whereas, according to the Siddur of Amram Gon, that's covered by the Psukim and the Mishnayos and the Gemaras that we say in Davening, according to Ben Adam, we don't even need that. According to Ben Adam, just we, in fact, everybody learns Gemara, that's good enough. So comes Tosfos in the third of the Maamar Kavos of Sanhedrin and elaborates upon this commentary of Ben Adam. So, Pirush Rabbi Natan, the B'talmud Shalonu on a potu matzvein with Mashem Amu Chachamim, la ola mishash adam shnosar shishmikh shishmikh shlish bishas. Afa pichain, anu korim b'chol yom, pashas tatomid, vishonim b'mishra seizim akoyimim, v'gorsim b'shmal omr shosu emidus v'chulik. Says Rabbi Natan, even though technically speaking we, who always learn a little bit of the Gemara every day, so if you know you're going to the Daf Yomi Shir today, then you don't have to say Vaidaber Hashem Hashlem, you don't have to say Ezim Mekayim, say Rabbi Shmuel, because the whole purpose of that was to get a little bit of all three, and you're getting that. So Ben Atam says, no, we still do it. Afa Bichein, Aminigiz, it says in the Siddur, so we say our Karbonos, we say our Mishnayos, we say Rabbi Shmuel Lomers every day. So why is that exactly? So Rabbi Natan just explains why Lamaisa we do it. But why do we do that? If I know that I'm going to a Daf Yomi Shir, I know I'm going to go say Shia today, I'm going to morning Seder, learn for the next 3 hours, I know I'm going to learn a Daf of Gemara. So I know I'm going to see some Mishnayos. I know I'm going to get one or two Pesukim in there. What do I gain by saying the Vayidaber, saying the Ezim HaKoyman, Rabbi Shmuel? What is the purpose of that? So one could just say it was simply like a minute, like a low plug, because not everyone's going to learn Gemara that day. That could be a simple reading. But maybe there's something else going on. Maybe the recitation of these psukim that we have a custom of saying, particularly the psukim of Karbanos and the Mishnayis about the Karbanos, is not only just to ensure that we learn a little bit of Torah every day. That's covered by Adaf Yomishia. Maybe there's something deeper than that. Maybe there's something else that we're trying to accomplish by learning these different parts of Torah. If you notice, a good portion of these parts of Torah are related to Karbanos. The psukim that we use for Chumash are Parshas Atomid, Parshas Ketores. The Mishnayos that we use are Davke Ezim and Kaibid, Sugyos and Maseches Vachim. So what is it about Karbanos, about Kachim, that somehow has caught our attention, that somehow became our favorite in terms of the daily obligation? So if the goal is just simply to learn Torah every day, first of all, we're doing that anyway without just stumbling a little Gemara. And number two, so why, we should pick something else. Why my high manishtana that somehow this became the Minig Yisrael? So it could be that the recitation of these Pesukim, these Mishnayos, is based on a different twist as well. Not only do we get a little bit of a chelik of Talmud Torah, there may be something else that we're accomplishing also. And that's based on the fourth of the Ma'amar Kamos. That's the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Daf Yomi just did it a couple of days ago. Amar Lefan of Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom B'ma Eida. Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu says, B'ma Eida, how do I know? Right. What does that mean? So Amar Lo, Kal Li Egla Meshuleshes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, bring me these karbanos, split up the karbanos, and now you know you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. The Bris Mitzvah Bsarim. I don't understand the conversation. So Avraham Avinu had a kasha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an answer. What in the world does the splitting of the animals have to do with the as a response to Avraham Avinu's query, how am I going to know that I'm going to get Eretz Yisrael? So Amar Lefanav. So the Gemara fills in a little bit of what the conversation was. That what Avraham Avinu was really asking by the words, B'ma Edeh Ki Rashena, it's not that he was doubting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, he was asking, in what schus will we be zoichet to Eretz Yisrael? B'ma Edeh Ki Rashena, what do we have to do in order to get Eretz Yisrael? And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, these animals are obviously symbolic of the karbanos. These animals, each one of these animals are different animals that are brought as karbanos. The animals and the birds, these are the species that karbanos are brought from. So Mavinu was responded to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the schus karbanos will enable the Jewish people to get Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara continues the conversation between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in between the lines. So Amar Lefanav, Avraham Avinu responded back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Terech Bezman Shem Beis Hamikdash Kayem, Bezman Shem Ein Beis Hamikdash Kayem Matei Aleihem. Says, I understand when you have a base of mikdash, so the bringing of the karbanos is going to enable us to keep Eretz Yisrael. But we're going to be in Golos. There's going to come a time of Chorban. So in what merit, what chus are we going to be able to ever come back to Eretz Yisrael? So Amar Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded back to Avraham Avinu, Kfar tikanti lem seder karbanos. I have already set up for them, I already established for the Jewish people, in years to come, they should say the psukim, they should say the karbanos. Kol zman shekarim behen, as long as they say the karbanos, male ani alein ki'ilu makriven lefanei korban, umolcha ani al kol v'naseihem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, that let the Jewish people recite the karbanos, let them learn the karbanos, and this chusah to learn the karbanos, that's going to be enable them to come back to Eretz Yisrael someday. That was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to Avraham Avinu. So usually when we learn this gemara, we think it's a beautiful gemara, very inspiring, a little medrash in the Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos actually quotes this gemara in a very real halachic context. There was a famous question that the Rishonim are bothered with, is that the Gemara tells us that Devarim Shebechsav Iyata Rosh El Oman Bi'alpeh. Psukim in Chumash, you're not supposed to say them Bi'alpeh. You're not supposed to say Psukim by heart. There are two parts of that prohibition. There's one din that Devarim Shebechsav Iyata Rosh El Kosvan. You're not supposed to write down Toshi Bi'alpeh. And Devarim Shebechsav Iyata Rosh El Oman Bi'alpeh. And Devarim Shebechsav is supposed to remain intact as Toshi Bechsav. You're not supposed to say it Bi'alpeh. So the Gemara Maseches Gittin explains that in the days of either Rabbi Danossi or slightly afterwards, whenever the Mishnah was literally put into writing, there seemed to be two different versions as to exactly when the Mishnah was mamish put into literally into writing. So Rabbi Danossi clearly was the one who composed the Mishnah. I think Gemara tells us many, many times that the Mishnayos were put together in the days of Rabbi Danossi. It's not 100% clear whether Rabbi Danossi's pen actually put it to paper, or in the days of Rabbi Danossi, it was still Baal Peh. He was organized and it was all composed and still Stoshim Baal Peh, and then it was written down shortly afterwards. That's a little bit unclear. There seemed to be two different versions. There's a famous Igeris, it was a famous letter that was written called the Igeris of Shura Gaon. Shura Gaon was the father of Rav Hai Gaon. So Rav Shmuel Gaon lived in the 900s. So he was Rosh Hashiva in one of the yeshivas in Bavel. So there was a letter that was sent to him by the Jewish community in North Africa asking about a whole series of different things about Tosh Shabbat Peh, about how the Mishnahs were put together, how the Gemara was put together, about the Amoraim, the Savoraim, different nuances about the history of Tosh Shabbat Peh. So Rosh Shmuel Gaon quotes a lot of the history that we have about the period of the days of the Gemara comes from Igeres Rosh Shmuel Gaon. Rosh Shmuel Gaon had all the records in him. Apparently, in the yeshivas in Bavel, they kept these meticulous records. They had all the it wasn't on a computer; it was all handwritten. They had he was able to tell you which Gaon died when and which Rosh Shiva came in him and how many years he was Rosh Shiva. He tells you goes through the 500s, the 600s, the 700s, the 800s till his period of time. So in the middle of Igeres Rosh Shmuel Gaon, he talks about the period of Rabbi Dan Nasi when the Mishnayos were composed. So there seem to be two different nuances, two different gersos as to whether Rosh Shmuel Gaon was saying that Rabbi Dan Nasi literally wrote the Mishnah or he put it all together and then it was written, whatever, next generation. That's already a technical detail. But whatever it is, the Gemara says clearly that by the time the Mishnayos were put together and were put to paper, so Chazal had to explain how they did that. That seems to be a violation of the din, the Tosh Shabbat Peh being Bechsav. So that's a whole sugi in the Fipach of Gittin, what the rationale for that is. But the second half, the Gemara never really addresses. The Gemara never asks, how come we say Pesukim by heart all the time? We say Shema by heart. We say Birch Kodim by heart. We say Pesukim by heart. All nice of Yom, we say Pesukim by heart. So what happened? How do we have a right to do that? So there are many, many different answers that are given by the Rishonim. So there were some Rishonim who say that the only time it's us to say Pesukim by heart is only Pesukim that people are not always familiar with. But if everybody knows the Pesukim, so then it's okay. Apparently those Rishonim who held that the reason why you're not allowed to say Pesukim by heart is we're afraid you're going to make a mistake or something. But if everybody knows Shema, who's going to make a mistake saying Shema? But no Shema Baal Peh, so that would be okay. Again, there are a whole array of different answers in the Rishonim to why we do what we do. So one of the fascinating answers that appears in the Rishonim is quoted from Rabbeinu Yonah, the name of one of the earlier Rishonim, who says that the reason why we say Pesukim by heart is as follows. That any pasuk that appears in the Chumash that's given to us b'teiras mitzvah, not just as part of libra Torah, but it's actually a mitzvah dika pasuk, that's a different story. Let's say Lamashal, the battery's staying very low, so I don't know what you want to do with it. Instead, 10% going. It means I have to talk faster or we gotta get more battery. So there are a series of pesukim in Chumash that are used as mitzvahs, like Kriyashma, Pirchas Kohanim, the Parashas Chalitza. Those are psukim that not only do you learn as part of Limud HaTorah, when I open up a Chumash in Parashas Veschal and I learn... So I have a little delay here. Okay. All right. We're good? Okay. So sometimes you have Pesukim and Chumash that always have a dual characteristic to them. On the one hand, they're part of Torah. So if I open up Parshas Vaschan and I learn the Parsha of Kriyashma, I'm being Yaitse in the midst of Tamat Torah. If I open up Parshas Kiseitz and I learn the Sugi of Chalitza, I'm being Yaitse the midst of Tamat Torah. On the other hand, if somebody is Zman Kriyashma and they're saying the Pesukim B'Torah is Kriyashma, the Yotzei Kriyashma, let's say it comes time for Chalitza and the Yavim says the Pesukim, so then he's being Yotzei the mitzvah of Chalitza. So you can have Pesukim that have two roles to them. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the din of Devarim Shebichsav Yitav Rosh Hashanah Rav Peh means that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is supposed to be in a certain surah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us two parts of Torah. He gave us Bichsav and Rav Peh. Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be learned Bichsav and Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be learned Rav Peh. But when you're saying the psukim, not b'toras limud, you're saying the psukim b'toras mitzvah, that's a different ballgame. So then you're saying the psukim. Yeah. I'm a mute. Okay, wait, we're going to unmute. So again, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, when you say psukim b'toras limud, that's when there's a halacha of you have to say it b'tochek saf. When you say psukim b'toras mitzvah, you can do whatever you want. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, you want to know why do we say Shema without looking inside? We don't take a sefer Torah out to say Shema. Why? I'm not learning the Shema. I'm being yaitzei mitzvah Shema. When the Kohanim get up to Duchen, they don't get up and hold the sefer Torah in front of them because they're doing the mitzvah. They're not learning Torah right now. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when you say karbonos in the morning, you're doing a mitzvah. You're saying, you're doing a mitzvah. You're not learning. What mitzvah are you doing exactly? We state that you have to say karbanos. So Ben Yona quotes this Gemara. Ben Yona says that the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to tell Klal Yisrael to say karbanos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do something, that's a mitzvah, min HaTorah. It means we're mechuyim min HaTorah to say karbanos. It comes out an interesting thing. According to Ben Yona, the most important part of davening is karbanos. So Pesuk in Zimra is a machlekes, whether it's a dinder rabbanon or only a minik. Birchas Kriyashma, zicher, dinder rabbanon. Kriyashma, a shayla, the raisa, the rabbanon, tefillah, a shayla, everything's a shayla. But karbanos, everybody, that's for sure, the raisa. You gotta be more careful about saying karbanos in the morning. So anyway, back to the story. So there are almost two different approaches now as to what the goal of saying karbanos is supposed to be. So is the goal of saying karbanos supposed to help us fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? That's what Tosfos quoted from the Siddur of Amram Gaon. It's supposed to help us, to enable us to do the Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishra, Shlish B'Gemara. Whereas that's B'Chlal what we're doing. The goal of saying karbanos in the morning is to fulfill this mitzvah of saying karbanos. Kiryu Lefanos, the Seder Hazeh. So that's what probably everyone else would say. Rabbi Yonah is a chiddush gar. Rabbi Yonah is saying, Rabbi Yonah took this gemara that was basically a drush within the pesukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a deal with us, and Rabbi Yonah is turning it. What was a deal with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually a chiyuv. That's a tremendous chiddush, right? It's not a very big chiddush, Rabbi Yonah.
Even if it's a chiyuv, it's only to bring apart rachim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us.
Right, means if you don't want the rachim, so you don't do it. Right, your Ben Yonah doesn't seem to learn that way. That's the limit's chus of people who don't say karbanos in the morning. They all like that shit. Anyway, Achoparim. Again, there's clearly this halacha mikra mishnah gemara. The simple reading Taisa says the simple practice of Klal Yisrael is not don't sit around with a stopwatch to figure out exactly how many minutes and seconds every day you're learning X, Y, and Z. As long as you have a little bit of everything every day, that's good enough. So Taisa has two different eights how to do that. Either you do that through learning Tabit Bavli, or you do that by learning by saying the saying davening. But the Rambam has an entirely different approach. The Rambam took the gemara mamish kipshuto. So the Rambam in the fifth of the Marmakomos and Uchas Tamatir Perak Alaf Halacha Yiralef. A person is obligated to divide up their time. Shlish b'tarshu b'chsav, u'shlish b'tarshu b'peh. What the Gemara called Mishnah, the Rambam is calling tarshu b'peh. What's the difference between that and the next category? The Rambam will say in a minute. Shlish, the third, what we call Talmud, yavin v'yaskil achris dava mirishiso. Unlike the chelek, what's called Mishnah, what the Rambam called tarshu b'peh, that means psuki halachas. It means, this is the din, and this is the din, and this is the din, and this is the shita, this is the shita. Do I understand it? Do I delve into it? Do I understand it? No. I just know the following 25 pieces of information. I know this halacha mishnah, and that halacha mishnah, and this din, and that din, and this takon, and this mishnah, etc. That's shlish b'mishnah. Shlish b'talmud, says the Rambam, is yavin v'yaskel achas dav mirishiso. You understand how one thing leads to another. V'yotzi dav midavar, and you're able to extrapolate one from another. V'yidam edav ledavar, and you compare one thing to another. V'yavin b'midah shatar nidreshes ben, and you understand how to use the midah shatar nidreshes, how to make kavachaymes, and as kashas of kavachaymes. V'ach yedahech u'ikra midas v'ach yotzi as v'amotus. Only through all of the above, you could possibly begin to extrapolate and be able to, in a sense, create a locha, to be able to develop a locha. So basically what we do all the time. That's what we do all day. When we sit in learning sugyas, so we have a halacha. Like the marshal this morning, we spoke about there's a din of migo, there's a din of shtar chavir by boim. So we try to understand what does it mean and why is it true and how does that relate to Adam and how does it relate to rope. So you can't begin to apply the halacha properly unless you understand where it's coming from, what the source of the din is, how does it compare, are the dinim the same, are they different? So that's all the chelek, what the Rambam is describing as Talmud. That's what's called Gemara. So that's basically what the Amorim did. That's what they did all day. They took the dinim of the Mishnayos. Those who were just learning Mishnayos just had straight halacha. We have no idea why this is true. Is it the Raisa, the Rabbanan? What's the Svar? What's the Pasuk? What's the Mokar? How do you know how to apply it? None of that. That's just Mishnayos. Talmud is much more. It's the deeper understanding of these halachas. So now that the Rambam defined the three categories, now he tells you, Tachas, how do you do it? In halacha yedbeis, Ketzer, hayabal umnis. So the Rambam is describing someone who's working. That's the Rambam's model. You have a fellow who's got a job, he's working. How many hours a day is he spending working? So the Rambam describes, your average person is working 3 hours a day. This is not the Rambam's konik, this is the Rambam's balabas. 3 hours a day. Vatura teisha. And therefore, he has about 9 hours or so to learn. Now again, there are 24 hours that make up the day, but the Rambam holds you have to sleep for 8 hours, and the Rambam says you got to daven and you got to eat and you got to spend a little time with your wife and kids, you help with the homework, kind of whatever whatever things you have to do around the house and mitzvahs here and there. But you have approximately any good day, you have approximately 9 good solid daylight hours, but a little bit of day, a little bit of nighttime, you have 9 good hours to sit and learn. So how should you divide up? How should the Balabas divide up those hours? So 1/3, says the Rambam, you should spend in Tosh B'Ksav. 3 hours. The Rambam's not talking the language of Tosis. The Rambam's not talking the language of Rabbi Natan. The Rambam's not saying you just patter up a pasuk and a chumah and a mishnah and call it and then spend the rest of the day in Gemara. The Rambam is describing Pshuta K'mashmo. 3, 3, and 3. So 3 hours with Tosh B'Ksav. V'sholosh with Tosh B'Peh. V'sholosh Acheros, misbeinin b'dayta. You spend the next 3 hours contemplating, thinking, l'hovin davar midavar, to compare one thing to another. So the Rambam says the Divrei Kabbalah refers to the Vimu Ksuvim, that's part of Tosh B'Ksav. So that counts towards your 3 hours, learning all of Tanakh, not just Chumash. Whereas the interpretations of the Psukim, the deeper meanings of the Psukim, the Midrashim, the Mar Chazal, that's already the getter of Tosh B'Peh. And says the Rambam, a whole other area of Torah, what's called Pardes. Pardes are things that the Rambam speaks about in the beginning of Chassidus Torah, all the understandings of Maaseh Breishis, of Maaseh Makov, whatever all those things mean. The things that the Rambam writes, after spending the first 4 Prakim of Chassidus Torah talking about them, the Rambam writes, by the way, you shouldn't really be learning these things until you finish the rest of Torah first. After you finish and you know everything else, then you can come back to these four prachim that I'm describing. So if a person is up to that point of understanding the Maaseh Breishis, the Maaseh Makov, those kinds of things, so that's included in his chelik of Gemara. But now the Rambam says, when do we say this cheshbon that it's 3 hours, 3 hours, and 3 hours? B'tchilas tamud shel adam. That's when a person just starts. He's getting his feet wet in Torah. Aval kashiyagdo b'chochma. But if a person is already so great in his learning, v'lo yitzorech, he doesn't have to spend so much time on Tanakh anymore. He doesn't have to read the Mishnayos so often anymore. You could be eating the Sumanim. He shouldn't stop the Gamre. He should still chazer a little bit. Because remember, we spoke about in the past weeks, there's an issue called Shichas HaTorah. Especially the Rambam holds that the reason why you're not allowed to forget Torah, the Rambam says, because that's a pagam in the midst of Yedias HaTorah. That's a Ramosha size up the Shittas HaRambam. Because the Rambam says that you have to learn Torah to the last day of your life, because if you stop for any time, so then you're going to be Shecheach. And that's going to interfere with your ability to master Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rambam was aware of this and concerned with this. So therefore, even the person who's a great Talmid Chacham, you still got to learn a little Chumash, keep on learning Tanakh a little bit, keep on learning Mishnayos a little bit. But you want to know what your mainstay should be at that point? So he says, V'yifra kol yom of the Gemara b'lvad, you should spend the bulk of your time learning Gemara, l'fi reichav sheyesh b'liba v'yishav daito, depending on how wide your heart is, how much your depth of understanding and knowledge is able to do. So you see a few conditions from the Rambam. So the Rambam is, number one, telling us that this requirement of splitting up 3, 3, 3 is literal, not like Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosfos, but it means literally per hour. The Rambam also puts the brakes on it and says it's not always true, that it's only true at a certain stage in one's learning. So I guess apparently everyone who doesn't follow the Rambam is assumed that either they're following Tosfos, or they've reached a point that they know basically Kol HaTorah Kula already. So now they're already put at the point where the Rambam permits you to spend the bulk of your time learning Gemara. So the Minhag Yisrael is not like this Rambam. Let's be honest, let's all be real. Most people don't spend their every waking hour calculated in terms of 3, 3, and 3. So it's interesting, even though the Rambam puts this number at 9 hours, which is a little bit frightening for us. Again, the Rambam was describing the Baal Umnas, he told about the guy who was going to work. He didn't say a word about a guy who's not working. The guy who's working is still learning 9 hours a day. The Chayyadim writes that in Ishtanu Hatvarim a little bit, that the world's changed a little bit. That maybe in the Rambam's day it was possible to make a parnasa, we're working for 3 hours. So the Chayyadim writes that Bizman Azeh is not Shaykh. He said, nobody has the time, even the greatest Bali Umnas today are not learning for 9 hours anymore. The Chayyadim writes, a good Bali Umnas today is learning for 5 hours. That was back in Danzig in the 1700s, so early 1800s. They were able to make it 5 hours a day. Halavai, we should be Zaycha then. Forget about the Baal Umnas, what about the Rabbanim? Any of us should have 5 hours to learn uninterrupted Bizman Azeh. So I remember I once heard from a very chosh of Tam Chacham. He was once telling some of the Tamidim, he said that, if a person would learn, and he picked the number 5, maybe because of the Chayyadim, he says, if a person would learn every day for 5 hours a day, he would become an awesome Talmid Chacham. Sometimes we think you become only become a good Lador if you learn for 14 hours. If you learn 5 hours a day, every single day, it would be no volume how much Torah a person would know. So just as the Chayyadim chiseled away at the 9 hours, we probably have to chisel away at the 5 hours. So whatever the number is, whatever it is, whatever amount of time that person has to learning. So again, most of us don't follow the Rabbim's model. Most of us follow the Rabbi Natan and the Tosfos, that we do a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnayos, a little bit of everything. But most of us spend a good chunk of our time in the third part in terms of Talmud, of Gemara. So whatever ultimately works for a person, one should try to follow. But in terms of the basic halacha, so there is some kind of a requirement of a shilashdom. Whether it means the Rambam's version, means the Bali Taisa's version, and Imtum Slobit means Taisa's version, you have different nuances how to do that, either through the saying of the Psukim and the Mishnayos before davening, or through a little bit of Talmud Bavli, which according to Rabbi Natan includes everything. Okay, stop here.
Next week?
I don't know, next week we'll see. We'll see. What's the oil look like next week?